Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Wellspring Words, the podcast. This is your host, Inkem, and welcome. This is later on in season four. I can't believe that is season four already, but I guess it is. I mean, I haven't yet even gone back to season one because I'm just afraid of listening to how high my voice was. You know, like if you listen to your voice sometimes and you're just like, hi, welcome. Anyway, we don't need to go into that. I see our guests on the other end of the screen laughing, but it's just one of those things that when you become more comfortable in your voice and more comfortable in your expression, it starts to deepen and starts to take on another tone. If you're new to this podcast or if you need a reminder of what we do here, we discuss wellness, spirituality, writing, and creative expression, and all through the lenses of spirituality, really. But honestly, it's an opportunity for me to dissect life and to be with other people who I'm interested in their stories, and I felt inspired by them in one way or another, and for us to see where the conversation goes. So it'll be no different this episode, and I'm happy to introduce and welcome our guest, Tiffany, who will come on in a moment and introduce herself and who she is today, and we'll dive into our conversation. So welcome, Tiffany.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I was like resonating so deeply. I'm like, yeah, my voice has changed.
Right?
Like the tenor of the voice. But I was like dreading this question. I'm like, how do I describe myself? But in this moment, what I've been embracing is this process of being lost well. Bio Akomolafe said that in a podcast with Prentice Hemphill, and it really resonated for me. I am one who just finds meaning in the process of living lost well. And what that means for me in like the professional making money sense, which is also a part of our, probably will come up today.
Yeah.
Is, you know, for the over a decade, I'd been in the nonprofit and higher education space. And so I was serving youth and higher education institutions and staff in leadership development and creating spaces of equity and social change. And so I was a program designer, facilitator, trainer, all of these many things that let me just write transformative dialogic experiences for people to find their access to equity. And in this current life, I've started my own consulting like company, question mark. I say that because a lot of these words that are like rooted in capitalism really don't sit well with me, but I have a practice where I partner with organizations to develop their projects for social change and impact. And for me, that's deeply rooted in healing. It's deeply rooted in social healing. I want people to live well. Period. And that wellness means so many things, but a lot of my work is around how to invite people into a process of being lost well, and letting go of kind of the parameters we've put around those experiences as humans. So that's what I'm coming in with today, and embracing the slowness that I'm feeling today with much joy. Hello, everyone.
Thank you. So beautiful. So beautifully said. Within the questions that I had sent you before we got on this podcast, one of them was, what does it mean to journey? And I think that's a good place to start, because when we talk about being lost well, what does it mean to be lost? How does being lost fit into the journey? What does it mean for you? If we can just kind of break that down or give a wider perspective to this experience of being lost or journeying, just so for those of us who are in an experience can find resonance with the words that you place to it, you know.
What that means for me is accepting the relationship and presence of life and death, and the delicate yet loving relationship that exists between life and death. For a while, there were moments that I experienced in my personal life, in my familial life, just overwhelming loss, tragic loss, sudden loss. It was just unrelenting. And at one point in my journey for healing, it became a journey of making sense, you know, just trying to make sense of what the loss meant for me and what it means to still go on living, you know, with this absence. And I became, or had to become, I should say, because I wasn't, I became comfortable with this feeling of not having the earth underneath me. And at times it felt really disorienting. And those were the moments when I knew I needed to do something different to feel myself centered. And over time, I've realized that our pursuit as like humans to just simply make sense of this living experience is one in which we can get comfortable with not knowing. It's one where we can get comfortable with saying we don't know, and with just literally being lost. And I think that that experience of being lost can have such a negative connotation, because folks are like, well, then you don't know what you're doing, and da, 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 you know, whatever tone that comes up for you. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm really okay with that. And then other times I'm like, no, I need to know what I'm doing. So for me, the experience of being lost well is like bathing in a delicious pool of curiosity, where I have this like never ending list of books that I say I'm going to read that I probably actually don't have enough time to read as a human. But I'm like determined to just learn as much as I can about the experience of life through the eyes of and thoughts of so many folks. Being lost well means, you know, dancing with the tension that I feel in my body, in my heart, in my breath, in my throat, and allow myself the grace to explore those things. You know, being lost well is all of, it's everything. It is the experience of being human, of what we allow ourselves to hold on to and what we allow ourselves to release. And also being lost well is like the process of figuring out what it means to be lost well. Like, that's what it's been for me. That's how it's showing up. It has hard edges, it has soft edges, but it's where I find home. I find home in that experience of journeying, of wandering, because I wander with, like, I just wander with myself, with my spirits, with, and I'm never lost. So there's the irony in it, right? I'm never lost in the experience of being lost.
Well, it's like a human being lost, but a spiritual always being connected to what you need to be connected with. So you are not really lost. Yeah, I understand that. And it kind of begs the question for me, what would it mean to be 2 feet planted on the ground? What would it mean to be found? What would it mean to have everything sorted out? What would it actually mean? It's kind of a rhetorical question, but also one that we can pause this conversation and just take a moment, or like a little bit later on, ask ourselves, what would it actually mean? And it's good timing for me, because I was crying yesterday, blubbering, nose and eyes, everything blubbering, telling myself, I just feel lost. I don't know what's happening, all this stuff. And my sister is like, what do you expect from, what is it that you're expecting that you're not receiving? You know, what is it? That's the kind of the same thing. What would it mean to have your 2 feet planted on the ground, your heels dug in? What would it actually mean? And oftentimes we can't articulate that, especially if we are inclined towards a life of curiosity, the life of being led intuitively, right? And if someone's listening to this podcast, it's probably because they have that curiosity, or they're deep in that type of journeying, which is not for the faint of heart. It's right. It's like,
it's really, really not. Like, for a while, and I'm curious if this is what it was like for you. Like, when, I mean, I was raised in Christianity, and while I don't actively practice Christianity, I'm like still so in love with so many of the things I learned through Christianity and Jesus. And I just think a lot of it is really beautiful. But when I started moving in this journey of being lost well, I just started learning way more about spirituality and the vastness that exists, and the spiritual path, right, that it's heavily commodified right now,
Yeah.
but it's also really true and beautiful. But to choose a path of spirit and spirits is to commit to being lost,
Right.
in my opinion. And it's not easy. It's like it's so not easy. So yeah, it's like constantly. Sometimes it feels like the rock you're pushing is like completely bigger than you and beyond you. And other times it feels like you can just kick the pebble, you know? And like that's to me, that's the ongoing cycle of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a cycle. I was having this thought this weekend because I had taken a trip outside Mexico City. I went to Oaxaca City for a wedding, but it was nice to be away in a different city, just in a different environment, and feel myself as like myself as a solo person, as like just in a just a different place. And I was talking to God, just asking, like, please just be here with me because there's a lot I feel in this tentative place, just very, anything could happen, very fragile. Like, in a moment, you could touch me and I'll start laughing and we can have a great time, or I'll start crying and everything will go downhill. Like, it just felt in that moment. So I was like, please just be with me. And the message that I got was to hold it lightly, but not only just hold it, not hold on, like the non-grasping, not hold on to things with too much strength or desire or passion, which is like my go-to learned, and really, really cultivated that aspect of living, but also to live with a sense of lightness within myself, which to me speaks to this, like, that cycle of either being able to just kick the pebble and not even know where it is. It's tra-la-la, I'm on my path and oh, there's a pebble. I don't know. I stepped on it. I don't know where it is. Everything is fine. And then all of a sudden you run into a boulder. It kind of feels like that. And can we have the same kind of lightness, tra-la-la, that we had with the not knowing where the pebble was, with that boulder that comes in front of us? And typically we get so comfortable and so used very easily to that. Like, it's super easy. Everything is flowing, and I'm in a really good place. And all of a sudden, the boulder comes and shatters everything. But I feel like this being lost well, or journeying, or understanding the commitment of curiosity, or just always being lost, or always being on a journey, never really having both feet fully on the ground is like, I completely forgot what I was going to say.
No, yeah, there was this. Thank you for sharing that, because there's something that was
Yeah,
coming
help
up
me
for me.
pick it up. Help me pick
Yeah, there's
it
this. It was going in a couple ways, and so there was this image that I want to share with you. So my coach, who I've like, she's been my coach since like 2017. I love her. When I was like going through the really really in it, and feeling my world upended, she gave me an assignment to just look at my feet, like just notice my feet. Like she's like, look at your feet. And I was like, okay. Then I get off the call, and for a few days I just sat in my chair in my room and I just looked at my feet. I think I even started like rubbing my feet, and then I had some music playing. I got up and I started dancing, and as I was dancing I was looking at my feet. And I was saying to myself, these are your feet, these are your feet. Your feet are on this earth, your feet are on the ground. And my feet and I, we were just dancing, dancing. And in that moment, I was like, oh, I am here. I am here. And I think like that's what the experience of being rooted or feeling or noticing the pebble or whatever has to offer us, is just like, we just need you to notice that you're here. Just be with us. We don't need you to do anything else. You actually don't have to do anything else. Just be here with us. And I return to that practice quite often when I would feel that, you know, that tension. And the other thing I wanted to say, when you were talking about the touch, like someone could touch me and I can laugh, or someone could touch me and I could just cry and fall apart.
Crumble, yeah.
That resonates so deeply, and it just made me think about just the power of touch. And how necessary it is, how necessary it is to understand it for ourselves in safety, right? And like deliciousness. And yeah, I wasn't really going anywhere with that, but I was just thinking about that because I'm like, yeah, there are so many times where I just wanted to be held, or I wanted to someone to just like pull me on the dance floor and dance with me, you know, whatever. But it was the power of like someone either like guiding my hand towards something or wrapping their arms around me so that I can fall apart. This was so absent that contributed to the disorienting kind of loss, right? That now that I've allowed myself to embrace myself more in moments like what I described with the noticing of the feet, I'm realizing the power of that touch, that noticing, and coming back to myself and saying, I am here, we are here, right?
No, it's a beautiful thing, and it conjures an image of me in my own self. I'm just laughing, just thinking about how I can really talk, how I can just talk and talk and talk. You have such a beautiful smile, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's like brightening up the screen, totally. But I mentioned that because sometimes in a position of being someone who's very independent, who can and has had to, you know, talk their way into and out of so many situations, and who has a really wide vocabulary and knows how to use words and knows how to articulate everything. Sometimes all you need is to be touched in a moment. Like I was in a recent situation where I'm trying to explain away my feelings and explain my feelings. And it's really only making the situation more confusing for me and the person that I'm talking with. And really what I probably needed in that moment was for that person, whether they know it or not, and this is not putting the responsibility on them, but how nice would it have been for them to just put their hands on my shoulders and say, it's all right, you know, it's okay. Words don't solve everything. It's ironic because I'm over here Wellspring Words, and words are life, but truly words don't solve everything. Sometimes it's just that sense of being held, being in community, being it's okay to not know, as coming back to what you were saying of, I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I do, but right now I don't, or sometimes I don't, and maybe I'll never know, but I'm here, you know, being okay to be in that moment without having to over explain.
There are two things coming up for me. When I was in my coaching program, we had to do like this fun. It was like a 9 month. It felt like I was like back in grad school, and I'm so grateful for it. But our last class, we all had to do presentations, and I used to do a lot of public speaking when I was younger. Both of my parents are from Liberia, and my father in particular has always wanted his children to
be
know
Toastmasters.
Words. Pretty much right before I even like, you know.
Yeah.
And so I used to give speeches, and not speeches, but like recite Maya Angelou, I Have a Dream. And like this was like my brother would do the Martin Luther King. I said Maya Angelou, I have a dream. My brother would do Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream, and I would do Still I Rise and Invictus and do all these things. And so there was a news article of me when I was like maybe like 6 or 7. And I recited Still I Rise at this Black History Month celebration. And so for my final presentation, I for some reason I wanted to bring myself into conversation with that Tiffany. And this was like a while before inner child work had become more mainstream, but we learned about inner child work in my coaching program. So what I asked my community to do, my community being my cohort, I found that article, that news article, asked my dad to find it for me. He had it. I
framed
it.
Of course.
Yeah, he just, or like in a box, because he like just collects things. So I had that, I projected it onto the big screen. And then I wrote a letter to my little self, that Tiffany, because somewhere along the way, something with my voice just became really stuck. And so I sat on the floor. I got on my knees. I had this note to myself that I had up the image of myself up there, and I invited my cohort to surround me by placing their hands on me as I read this letter to myself. And I didn't know what I was really doing until it happened. And when it happened, I mean, something shifted inside of me. And then my friend afterwards, she was like, I don't know if you realize this, but you quite literally shifted the atmosphere in there. And I was like, I couldn't have done it without y'all, you know? Like, I could not have encountered that part of myself without them placing their hands on me. Literally, it felt like, you know, like a prayer circle. And then I'm reminded of a retreat that I went to recently where some of the folks were also talking about touch, and exploring touch. And that's a whole other conversation because I was actually was at a place where I wasn't able to do that because I had COVID and like, actually, no, you can't touch me. But we were just exploring the power of that intimacy and breaking down what it looks like for masculine presenting beings and feminine presenting beings, and how we can work through that on towards a path of healing and do it safely. And I just think it's something that is so lost. The art of it is so lost, because it's, you know, it's just been used in really harmful ways. But when done well, when done right, and when we allow ourselves to call ourselves into it, it has such power. Yeah, I just miss it, you know. I miss trusting it because I'm still working through my trust of it, myself, you know.
Same here, you know, that do we even trust? Do we trust being touched? Do we trust ourselves touching other people? It's another one too, right? Because I think it can be easy to put ourselves in that kind of victim position, whether or not I think we've all been in that position. You know, something has been done to me. It's not fair. It has been done to me. And unfortunately, in the cyclical nature of life, hurt people. And if we've been hurt, we have hurt. I mean, you're not gonna tell me that that sad girl in the corner has never hurt anybody. Me being the sad girl in the corner, you know, like it's so there's a lot of healing to be done, but it's relational healing, right? It's not individual. And on a healing journey, which I think many of us are on, once you start your healing journey, you realize your whole life is a healing journey, right? Like
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
continual healing. There's no, I'm just gonna be able to just give me like a year and a half max. And then afterwards I'll be all good and everything will be dandy. It's like, oh snap, I'm in it. I chose to be in it and now I can't unsee the ways that I need to now pivot the way that I live in order to continue to heal, especially if you're living in a certain paradigm, which is toxic and which continues to hurt and hurt and hurt because that's its only agenda. So yeah, there's a lot of healing that needs to be done in community. So talk to me about your passion about community and belonging and the healing that happens in community, because I know this is a big thing for you.
Yeah, it's a huge thing, and a lot of it comes out of the journey and out of the sense of acute loneliness I felt at some of the hardest moments of my life, and moving from the sense of like resentment for not feeling community around me to move into a place of like grace for acknowledging the ways it perhaps did exist, but just perhaps didn't exist in the way that I needed, and I didn't speak up about that. And so there's so many ways I can go with this, but I'll start from this place. Right now I'm currently on like a cross-country road trip around the US. That was prompted by one of my closest friends. She asked if I could be her birth doula. And I said yes. I was like, absolutely. So I trained to become a birth doula, and I came out here to Chicago to support her with the birth of her second child. And when I witnessed what I did in my friend, her amazing strength, I was overcome with this sense of community. Because I'd been theorizing about it, trying to work through it, trying to call it in different ways, but mostly creating it for other people because my work requires me to design programs of community, right? Rarely am I finding myself a participant in it. But when I was a witness to this, I was like, oh my gosh. And so at the same time, my cousin was expecting, and I'm heading to Minnesota to be with her and support her in postpartum support because she ended up having the baby yesterday. I'm like, dang, you could have waited a couple more days, little one. But I was like, this is my offering. You know, I think that the question of capacity comes up a lot. So going back to what I was sharing before, moving like from resentment to grace, when it comes to community showing up, it was acknowledging that we have to lean into what is either being asked of us or lean into what we can offer. And we have to be okay with not being able to offer everything. And as the receivers, we have to be okay with acknowledging that everyone can't offer us everything. But what allows us to be in community with one another is the truth of that, is the honesty of that. And so I've become a birth doula. I'm not doing this so I can become a professional doula and make this whole, you know, business out of it. I'm doing it because it's an offering that feels really tangible and within my capacity to support my loved ones. And it is my greatest gift that should they want me to be in the room with them, support them before, during, and after birth, I want to be able to do that. I've been called in. I have been called in by a community member to do this. I asked myself, am I interested? Can I do this? I said yes, and I took on that call. And I now am so grateful that should other family members, friends want the same of me, I will find the capacity to do that because this is something that feels very aligned and right. And this is something that's within my capacity to do. You know, at one point in my life, I used to be able to be the one that could sit on the phone for hours upon hours with a friend that was in pain. My proximity to my own pain and despair has shifted my capacity for holding that space to a great extent. And so I've had to figure out how to recalibrate. And so to me, that's a lot of the experience of community building and community and belonging and loving. And I continue to explore it. It's noticing when there is an ask or a call and allowing myself to investigate my capacity and desire, and willingness and the courage I have to show up. And so I'm gently moving towards those things. You know, for some people, I act as a coach and not in a professional capacity. For some people, I act as a spiritual advisor. For some people, you know, just the roles shift and change. And a part of it is my acknowledging the ways I'm being called in for people and the ways that I'm willing to show up for them. And in that, I continue to move between this balance of grace and there's still like still some pain, right? And stuff that happens when I don't necessarily feel it reciprocated in ways that I need and wanted to. And where I am now is trying to get more comfortable with saying what it is I need and want first to myself. Like, Tiff, what is it you actually need and want in this moment? And then sorting through like my community and like who are the people or the things, because it's also sometimes like other spiritual resources that I could reach out to that would allow me to feel satiated or supported or held in this. And so I just want people to live. Like I genuinely am so, because I've experienced loss by suicide, you know, I've experienced that loss more than once. And the devastation that surrounds it, but the confusion that surrounds it, because it's, you know, you beat yourself up. You're like, what could you have done? What could I have done? And that's a whole conversation that I really don't feel prepared to go down right now. But that is a question that comes up if you are the survivor of that kind of loss. And I had a part of my journey was working through saying, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know completely what I could have done. There are many things I could say this and this. What can I do now? Is now my asking myself that, right? Over and over again. What can I do now? 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 And I've kind of become devoted to this experience of creating, and I don't even like creating, facilitating, inviting in experiences, spaces, practices that allow people to connect to themselves and what I'm now framing as connect to the tenor of God, Goddess divine, that allows them to feel fully here. And that could look like so many things. Like even in my work with clients, like I'm working with clients in like in completely indirect ways, like helping them with organizational culture and things like that. But everything for me comes back to like, where is the possibility for living in this? Like that's what it comes back down to for me. That is my North Star, my root, my feet on the floor, my pep, that is my everything, is what, where is it possible for this person to live in this moment, in this experience, in this program. That's literally what it all comes down to. And sometimes that can feel really overwhelming, because I really want people to live. I really want people to live well. And yeah, and so that's all in the community for me. That's in my offering in like this kind of business capacity. And then it's also in my offering in this friendship capacity. I'm just constantly, honestly, I'm constantly experimenting with it. And I have some, I've encountered some people that allow the experimentation.
And we thank God for that. I mean, life is an
We thank
experiment.
God.
So, life is an experiment. There's all we're doing in this life is experimenting. And I feel when you can connect to something that honors you and what you truly want to live through or what wants to live through you, the experiment will feel a lot more fun. Let's just put it like that, holistically, than feel like this taxing, tiring, am I really getting what I want? Am I getting what I deserve? Am I getting, am I getting, am I getting? And I'm phrasing it like that because that's the place that I've been in of I'm giving, but am I getting? I'm giving, but am I getting? And that tit for tat thing is a product of this capitalistic patriarchal white supremacist paradigm, absolutely, where it's all about objectifying yourself and objectifying other people. So you have a bunch of objects sitting in a shop together, and which one is going to give me the best value versus am I living well? A simple question like that. Am I living well? Or another question that feels more heart-centered or that feels more connected to your holistic well-being. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much in what you said, but something that I wanted to, I guess, highlight from my what I pulled out, many things, but the biggest one is this: when it comes to community, I find it very beautiful how you phrase the way that you're able to show up and your how you spoke about capacity, because it's a really nice, what's the word I'm looking for? Continuation of some of the other episodes we've had this season where we talk a lot about boundary setting. After you come to a place where you know that you need to set your boundaries, there's life after that. It's not, that's not all there is, boundary setting. And then what? Boundary setting. You understand who you are, you understand your worth, or you're in a process of understanding your worth. But in that process, you understand that there are some relationships that aren't doing it for you. And that's fine. And that's healthy. And that's good for us to move out of what's not working. But eventually, we need to move into what's working. So there was another episode that we had about claiming a good life. I need to live a good life. I deserve to live a good life. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to be in toxic relationships. It won't always be easy, sure. But after that boundary setting, after understanding the worth and where I've been taken advantage of, there is a beautiful life to be lived. And that, on some level, is an individual reckoning or some way to reconcile individually what has gone awry or where am I not on my path? How can I get back on a path that feels right for me? And then others are then able to come into the process. And then we get to question, do I have the capacity? Because if you're like in a place where you're saying yes to everything, saying no willy-nilly because there's no true understanding of what feels right for me at this moment. So I love that when you spoke about capacity, you mentioned desire, willingness, capacity, right? And all of these things is an investigation or checking in with yourself first before going out and saying, yes, I can do that. I wanted to highlight that because there is kind of, it's not a protocol, but somehow it kind of feels like that in a sense. Like, yes, you are with yourself first and foremost, and then the community comes out of that seed, it feels like.
There's so much there's so many luscious parts in what you said that I'm like, you probably see my face. I'm like, like I think I'm like such an external thinker. People say that all the time.
I love it.
Because I've been thinking a lot. I don't use the word boundaries a lot, actually. And as you were saying that, I was like, oh, I don't use that word a lot. I think what I have been using is capacity only because I'm trying so hard not to. I visualize certain words so much to the power of words. And so when I think of a boundary, I think of this line that maybe exists far in the distance or exists closer to me. And then when I started to think about capacity, I think of like this deep bowl. And so like I wanted to share that because I again I think for everyone there's a tenor with from which we make sense. And there are different things that reside for us, and we embody things differently. But I think for us all to know the frequency, the level at which we are able to engage with others, it's a critically important skill. And that to me, that's like the essence of boundary work. That's the essence of capacity work, is to understand that kind of like frequency, that kind of like there's a word that I'm missing here, because there may be times where a friend of yours is asking for something that perhaps you aren't willing or aren't able to give, but maybe that happened on that Tuesday, but maybe they ask you for it on two Tuesdays from now, and for some reason it feels different. And so I'm constantly exploring that, like when it's like, yep, this is something that I need to let go. It has lived its course. And when it is something perhaps that I need to rethink and rework so that I can be in a different relationship with this thing, with this person, with this being. And to that point of what it is to live well, what that was coming up for me, because I think that there's so many ways to live well. And I think that is what becomes really, really, really tough, because there are unavoidable injustices that exist in this world. And I say that with absolute conviction, and the people that are responsible for it have got to acknowledge it. They won't. Right? And so these things have contributed to disproportionate realities for people that we can go on there. So I just want like that's the oversimplification of it. And I also know that there's a movement of people returning to things, like returning to earth. People of color building farms. My cousin has like eight pets in his house that he just loves. And all of these things, I'm bringing up these like kind of like different examples and material examples, because the experience of living well can look different for so many people. And it's like, how can we allow ourselves to rethink what it is? Really toying with what it looks like to surrender to my community a bit more and like allow myself, like moved out of my apartment, and I've just been like just moving around a lot, and what it looks like to surrender to my community that says like, hey, come anytime. And I'm like, okay, cool, that time is now, when before it would be like, and that was not living well to me. I would never go. I'd be like, sure, and I would like never. But now I'm like, what would it look like if I say yes, I will come anytime, and that time is now, because I want to know what it's like to live with you, to be with you, to spend time with your goats, because I'll be spending some time at my friend's farm. And so like living well, I think the process of also undoing, right? Like what we've come to know as the experience of living well. Like, what is it, like, the picket fence, the family thing? Is it, it's like all these different things. And that part feels really tough too. It feels really, really tough to unlearn, redo, rebuild,
Reimagine.
reimagine. Yeah, that's the word. What it is it would take, what living well would be and mean for us,
In every season too, right? Because it's different in different seasons of your life. And understand, the more we understand who we are as individuals, the more we understand who our people are, who where we come from, whether it's like our community or our caregivers or our parents or our siblings or all of that, like the more we see ourselves as children, just going back to you speaking to younger Tiffany. And I was thinking yesterday when I was going through a moment and I called my sister because, She and I are very different, but when it comes to those moments of just needing someone who knows me to demonstrate that they know me without me having to over explain myself, and so I can just let it all out and get their support, she's the one I go to immediately. It's not a question for me. And in that moment, I am the younger version of myself, where it was just me and her. We're like 15 months apart, so very close. Me and her doing our thing, playing in the, getting married to each other in the basement by the washing machine, playing dolls, doing all this stuff. And she always being the one, the ada, the first daughter, who's always holding the hand and taking care, and me always being the sister who's coming into your room and yelling and, giving you a good time. And just watching the dynamic and how it's evolved for us. And it's just like, wow, this is where I come from. I come from her, you know what I mean? Yes, she's my sister and we're 15 months apart, but she's still a very, like a clear guide for me. A clear, I come from her. Yes, I come from my mom and all that stuff, but I also come from this person who has been alongside me along this journey, the whole step of the way. And that changes the way that you see yourself, if you allow it, right? Like if you allow yourself to understand that. And that can also fit into or play a role, let's put it like that. Because you're right, we do have to be kind of mindful with our language. So I say fit into it, it is like overly structured, but play a role in this larger sense of what does it mean to live well? What does it mean to live? And then live well on top of that. And if we're living, are we inherently living? I mean, there's so many questions. There's so many questions about it. I think like those words that you put at the beginning of grace and curiosity are really nice. I'm holding them. I'm still holding them as we're having this conversation, because I think we need that. We need to have those words be like the fire. If we're sitting around a campfire right now, those words are the fire, keeping us warm and allowing us to settle in and like continue to settle in into the journey. Because once we get off this podcast, it's a continuation of the ups and downs and the ins and outs and all of the intricacies of the journey. But there can be a way for there to be some constancy, for there to be some grounding, some centering,
I'm just real quick, I'm so in love with that story you just shared about your sister, because you're reminding me of how much of my, people like when I make, I'll know I've made it when dot dot dot, like people used to say that, like when we were younger, like I'll know I've made it when I have this house, I'll know I've made it. And I definitely used to say that at one point. I'm completely different framing of my life now with everything that I've experienced. But recently I started saying to myself, I'll know I've made it when I can show up for a loved one like easily, like anytime they need me. Like that was actually my dream. And I started to approximate my sense of living well with how much I can show up, how much being capacity for me, right? How much I can show up for those with whom I hold a role for. So if I am a sister to my sister, in what ways can I show up for her? If I'm a sister to my brother, if I'm an auntie, like I've really been exploring what it means to be an aunt. It means so much to me, like to be a friend, to be a godmother, to be a wellness practitioner, to all of the many roles I hold, are these things that I feel are right for me to hold? I check in with my spirit guide, see what's there. If they are, how can I allow myself to continue to move towards them, with the spiritual vigor that I need so that I can allow the presence, the resonance of God divine, Goddess divine to flow through me in the spaces that I'm called to be in these roles? And that's a really convoluted way to say, like, yeah, I want to be. And it's not like, can I be the best sister I could be? It's like, who is my sister? Who is she asking me to be? Who can I be? Who am I asking her to be? Who can she be? And how do those different like loops, right, kind of talk to each other, commune with each other, so that we can strike the right chord to live together, in this experience of making sense of being human. I think that identity part of it, identity and role playing is so key in the living well. And I think we just allow ourselves all the grace that exists within and out of this world to show up as we can. But we all have to give ourselves that grace to show up as we can. But I'm in a process of unlearning and forgiving, you know? So this is pontification.
I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Pontification is fine. I'm listening to it. And you know, you never know. It feels like that. It feels like pontification because you're the one expressing it, but you never know who's going to resonate with some of the things that you said and those. So I think that whatever you have to say is important. And it's a tricky thing, this life, huh? Isn't it?
Yes.
Such a tricky thing. And especially coming back to this piece about like healing in relationships or being in community, being in relationships, healing in relationships, moving through life, knowing that you are a relational being, there are so many moments where I can't even say the worst parts of ourselves, but the baser part of ourselves, or the parts of ourselves that I don't even know what to call it really, but it's the parts that get triggered. It's the fire. It's the scared parts. It's the, yeah, you can call it traumatized. I mean, there are so many ways to look at it. There are so many ways that these parts of ourselves come to the surface, but they, and depending on your environment, your circumstance, what you're moving through in life at that time, what you're holding on to, what your expectations are of life, what, so many things. And within one being, within one moment, you can be experiencing multiple parts of yourselves existing at once and need to wrap your head around all of that and need to move through life with all of that existing. I need to honor that because as somebody who is in that position all the time often and recognizes, I mean, I think we're all in that position, but really truly recognizes it and tries to allow myself to be in that, I know that if we, you, whoever resonates with that is in an environment or around others who don't honor that experience, it can feel awful. It can feel humiliating. It can feel destabilizing. It can feel like you're crazy, you're nuts, you're doing something wrong, you're unwell. It can feel like a whole bunch of things. And there's a whole industrial complex designed to fortify that reaction towards people experiencing their fullness or experiencing all of their selves at once. And there's a lot within that, you know, like if I cannot speak to anything clinical because that's not my place to do that, but I want to honor that being a human is tricky business. And so if we've signed up for the journeying side of it, for the side where it's like, okay, I'm going to allow myself to be, I'm going to be trying to be present with all that arises and try to resource myself. And let's get into resourcing a little bit, because I think it's a really important conversation of what that means. Because when I learned of this word resourcing, in just that phrase, it just changed the game for me. It made me allow myself to give myself more grace. So yeah, like this idea of giving yourself what you need, allowing yourself what to receive what is available to you, whether it's physical, whether it's relational, whether it's spiritual. You don't have to do it alone, and you shouldn't do it alone. You don't need to do it alone. Someone said somewhere, maybe, that if you can't handle it by yourself, then you're not handling it. And then they left no room for you to continue life in a beautiful way. But that's just not, that's not a truth that you have to live with if it doesn't resonate with you. So I'd love to hear your take on resourcing and how it's kind of morphed throughout your journey.
So I really love this question, and I'm like, I'll probably figure it out as I'm sharing about it, because I say this a lot to myself. So I'll start with another image. As I started to expand my spiritual path, I realized like there's this beautiful cauldron of things that I can tap into to help me live, you know? Being a Christian was really central to my identity for so long, and I think so many people saw me for that as well. then I started just getting into other things, other things that I genuinely am so surprised I got into. Like, and I say get into because that's what it felt like at first. It felt like I was like joining this secret society club. And I was like, oh, I can, what is divine feminism and what is Reiki? And I was like doing all these things at first. And I realized now that I was being resourced. Like there was something I was being pulled to, drawn to, because something was telling me, like, you deserve to live, right? So we're going to show you the many ways you can live and live abundantly and live with pleasure and live with joy and live with grief. Like it is possible to live. Like that's like perhaps the small still voice that I heard. If I look back, that's probably what it was. And so I think resourcing, and I'll speak in the I because I'm really sensitive around this, because to me it connects back to the capacity conversation around what we can give, what we can receive, et cetera. Resourcing is an ongoing experience of allowing ourselves to surrender to what is asking to hold on to us, what is possible in that holding. And so like a quick story, like when I was in like a complete moment of desperation in after the loss of a loved one, I like straight up said to God, I was like, ah, I don't have it in me to hold on to you anymore. And I'm pretty sure you're there, but I am begging you to hold on to me because I do not have the strength to hold on to you right now. And when I tell you I felt the grip, a divine grip, hold on to my wrist as though I was falling off of the ledge. I felt that grip on my wrist for years. And that is also resourcing. It is the plea and surrendering to the response. And that happens, I give the deep exhale because that happens over and over and over again. It is noticing when you need something, and perhaps noticing when what you would usually turn to isn't working anymore and there's something new you'd like to try. It's being open to the newness of things. It's also allowing yourself to stay the course with those things. If you're like, I really, really enjoy journaling. Like I've journaled my entire life. And recently, I just haven't wanted to journal in the same way that I have. My resourcing was asking me not to just journal, it was asking me to read and respond. So now I'm journaling differently, right? And so there will be times where your resourcing just starts to look different. But this I'm feeling this swell of like an exhale can come over me a lot. Because what to know what it is you need, and to know that you just need something but you don't know what it is, to me that's the resourcing process. And then you just ask questions. I just started asking questions, and I started going to things I would probably never go to. I started asking myself hard questions. But it's an ongoing process of putting the plea out. And for me, it's putting the plea out to like my spiritual community, my spirit guides, the presence of God, Goddess Divine, surrendering to their presence and allowing them to guide me to new ways of being in relationship to them so that I can become a more willing vessel for the work I'm supposed to do in this world. And it keeps on changing. It really keeps on changing. But I want no other life without this expansive presence that I have now, because I call on a lot of gods and stuff. It's just so completely different than what it was. So there are many pieces in there, but it's really about surrender and about response and about practice and about trying and trying again. And trying again and trying again and trying again and trying again and being willing to try again and again that willingness is the resource in. And I think that's enough, at least for now, because that's what I'm working with.
Thank you for that. When you mentioned staying the course, there are some things that resonate. You know, I talk about resonance a lot, especially when I'm working with my clients and coaching, or even in the online workshops, beginning and just getting into from going from the mind into the body, into the heart, and tapping into what resonance feels like for us. Like if it feels physical, or if we pick up on something, being able to work through our own words and our own expressions and see what's resonating, because there's something important there. And it may not be because it fits into somewhere super fixed and we can know the path from there, but resonance is important because it's unique and it's personal, and it helps us to illuminate our personal paths even more, I believe, in a way that helps us to feel more connected to ourselves, more grounded, more available, I guess, for the continuous journey. I think that might be like a flexible way to say it. So what resonated with me with what you were mentioning there was this staying the course, and the trying and trying and trying and the willingness, you know. It's another way of feeling the fire, I feel. The way that I'm interpreting this through my own being and my own way of being in the world. Feeling the fire, and sometimes the fire can and has been and comes across as, yeah, anxiety, impulsiveness, super hyper, you know, things that fire does. Just think about fire in all its shapes and forms. But also the fire can be that steadiness, the thing that keeps things warm, the thing that keeps things bright, the thing that illuminates the way. And a willingness is kind of like that core fire to continue doing the thing, even if everything else is in the process of being burned down around it, right? Like if the whole forest is being burned down, but the path is lit because the fire is there, then it's worth it to continue that path, allowing those distractions to be burned down along the way. It's really beautiful. And in that way, and there's also surrender to it too, right? Like there's the willingness, that fire, that action of doing, of staying the course. But sometimes staying the course is staying the course of surrender, staying the course of being open, staying the course of having the capacity of allowing, if we want to be visual people, people are already visualizing with us. The fire is now taking on a shape of like a ring rather than the straight line that's like illuminating the course, but it's like a ring of fire around, and you need to be within that ring, and that ring is containing what it needs to contain for you to feel held, or for you to feel like it's okay to be in the heat of it all, or in the willingness of it all to continue without even knowing what the path is looking like, or if there is a path, or if that even resonates, you know. But this conversation, and especially that portion of you talking through what resourcing means to you in this moment, or how it's coming up for you with that question, is resourcing for me, because I have been in moments recently of a lot of questions. Oh God. And I'm like, but are we doing this really? More questions? Of course we're doing it. That's what we're here for. Questions. And in that, I throw my hands up and I'm like, hold me. This is usually the thing that I say, hold me, please just hold me. Just be here with me. Just hold me. And on this day, particularly, I have felt God speak to me through you in this conversation, and in a video that I was watching earlier this morning, when I was like, I just need to put on a video in the background on YouTube so I can like hit this exercise. You know, I was doing my exercise and I didn't want to watch a workout video. So I was like, let me watch this video and I'll just do my thing. And the way that this woman was speaking about her life experience as though it was me talking about my life, it was just so wild to me, which is such a beautiful reminder of how God, spirit, divine, that energy that really holds us all can just come through in different ways if we allow it, you know. There's on this path, and especially because of the commodification of spirituality and wellness and self-care and all of these things, it's very easy to get into the, okay, talking to God looks like this, hearing God looks like this, and then not even the commodification of it, like just the religiosity of it before that, right? It looks this way. It's supposed to look this way. There's a lot of shoulds around it. And in the process of living well, living lost well, journeying, being with ourselves in the process of being with other people, there are several moments, continuous moments of us needing to understand what that voice sounds like to us, or what that essence feels like to us, or how we resonate with the world around us through God, you know? So yeah, there was a lot that really held me based on what you said. So thank you.
Yes, 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 yes. What was happening for me just now was like, I was looking down because I was writing some notes before we got on the call, but that's like what I'm feeling really called to help live in the world right now. I started feeling this before and then encountered now who I'm calling like a life comrade. I'm getting like words, right? But like, it's like friend, family, sister, but this person feels like they're a comrade of mine. And I asked them, like, what does it feel like when you're in practice and you just feel so connected to spirit, to divine? What does it feel like? And she said, it's really genuinely hard to put into words. Like, I cannot put it into words, but if I had to put it into words, she used to be a flute player, and it feels like when you strike the perfect chord. And the word perfect is not meant to be in this way that we've known, but just like the chord, right?
It
and
rings I was like, through the way that it rings through with
yeah.
such a clarity, probably.
Yeah. And I've been sharing that gospel, if you will, with a lot of people, because I started to feel the messages of that before. And sometimes the amplification of a message has to come through another medium, right? Another medium,
yeah.
another person, and then it becomes amplified and the whisper becomes right. But that's what it is. Like, I think I'm being called to create, cultivate, facilitate, journey with people towards tuning in to their spiritual resonance, their godly resonance, their divine resonance. Because to me, that is what helped me live.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
it
absolutely.
Is live, and I've seen it. But within that, because we are so prone as humans to institutionalize things,
yeah,
that experience of this both individual and collective journey and towards resonance has become so difficult, so that even the path towards liberation that I believe is the experience of a spiritual path, the path towards liberation, even that experience has now become institutionalized again. Like, we just have such an inclination to, and it's all because we're trying to make sense and we're trying to make right, quote unquote, right in the world, that we once again contain ourselves. And so it's really this cycle, there's a reciprocity, there's a cyclical nature, I should say, with this process of being lost well, of tuning into resonance, of attunement, because it is both, and it is both us trying to journey towards liberation and also acknowledging that we desire to be contained. There's like this instinct, excuse me, that we have to be contained by something, someone, something, you know, whatever. And that to me is also a part of this dance of knowing, of being, of healing, of being well, of da-da-da, you know, fill in the blank of what you want to fill in there, like this
Yeah.
dance of being both liberated by something, but also wanting to be liberated from something. Like there's like
there's
in
a
between
lot, right?
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think this conversation, I mean, it's definitely left me with a lot questions, but in a different way. It's good because it's good for me because it has kind of allowed for a different voice to come through other than the fear voice, which we get so used to hearing. It's like, that's just who I am, you know, like it masks itself as our own voice, or a voice that feels so familiar and so trustworthy because I just hear it all the time. But there can be, and often is, another voice there that can be felt, that can be heard, that can be sensed into. And this conversation has left me with that voice kind of like with his mouth open, you know, ready to speak or some words coming through. And I say it like that because there's no fixed answer. There's no, just to kind of shift that to the side of the fear voice and let them do their thing playing in the corner in the sand with their dolls, because they're going to be there, but let them play now while me and the big kids have a conversation. You know what I mean? Kind of like visualizing it like that in my head.
I get it. I'm digging it.
Yeah. And it's been beautiful. It's been, this conversation has been life-giving. It feels life-creating. There's so many things in this life that drain us of our energy, that lie to us and tell us that they're going to give us energy, but it really just takes and takes and takes and takes. Sometimes it feels too late before we can get it back, but there's always a way back. Like, there's always a light. There's always something that can bring us back. So hopefully this conversation has done that and more for people listening. And if someone is in that moment where they can't even sense the light, or there is the light, but is that a light or a speck of dust, that this conversation will help to make that light bigger. That's really my sincere hope. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your wisdom, for sharing your journey, being, you know, spending part of your journey on this conversation, on this podcast. And yeah, it's been beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This conversation has actually really resourced me, to use that word. It's really resourced me. It's expanded my capacity to be. So I'm so grateful to you for this work. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Sincere pleasure. And if you want to be found on the internet or beyond that, feel free to share. If not, it's all good too.
Yeah, a couple of ways you can reach out to me on my personal website, tiffanycurtis.com, TiffanyCurtis.com. My business website, Indwell, Indwell, collaborative.com. You can also hit me up on Instagram. I was like, should I give Instagram? I change my Instagram name like every week, but right now it is currently my name, Tiffany, TiffanyA Curtis. You can hit me up there, where I'm just sharing my experience of living and being lost well in this world.
Beautiful. And I'll link that stuff in the show notes and in the description so people can find you directly. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this conversation. Thank you in advance for sharing it, because I feel like this is one that just has some nuggets that you just feel like you want to share. And it's cool if you do. It's really cool if you do. I allow you to do that for yourself and for others. If you want to stay connected with us, you can do so at Wellspring Words on Instagram. You could send us an email at bewell@wellspringwords.love. You can connect with me personally at naturallyfree123 on Instagram. My website is bynkem.co, bynkem.co. And yeah, stay connected. This is a place where we can kind of just settle in and be held and learn something, hopefully, and leave feeling a little bit more centered and grounded than we came. So yes, thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care. Bye.